In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, we are given the beautiful image of the Good Shepherd today, the one who takes care of his sheep and who never fails in any way to provide for them. And I quoted to you the last sentence of today's epistle because I wanted to call something in there to your attention. You were a sheep going astray. Sheep are quite the great followers. They like to follow a leader. And so therefore, if they have a good leader, they go in the right direction. If they have a bad leader, they go in the bad direction. But St. Peter, our first Pope, who was a shepherd himself, because he is the head of the church, the visible head of the church, he's writing to tell us about Christ being our good shepherd. He says, you have come back to your shepherd. You're following the good leader again by converting yourselves to sincerely following Christ. And he's in the confraternity version, we see the shepherd and guardian of your souls, but in the the Latin of the Mass, we say the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And I thought that was a wonderful thing to a detail to notice, that Christ himself, since he made the apostles the bishops of the church, he himself is a bishop. As a matter of fact, he is the greatest high priest of all. So wonderful that St. Peter, writing about the Good Shepherd, tells us or reminds us, once you have converted, you are making sure you're following the right leader. And our Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, who is shepherd and the high priest. He's the bishop, the highest bishop of all. So when we look at the Good Shepherd, one of the words that comes to mind is trust. Why would we trust this Good Shepherd? Or what are the reasons? And let's make a comparison to human trust. Why would you trust another human being? And there's two ways in which trust is engendered. It's, first of all, by looking to the past. How has this person been to you in the past? Has he or she always kept their word? Have they not broken your trust in some way? Have they always told you the truth? And you see, when somebody's consistent and truthful and keeps their word, we keep increasing our trust in that person. And the trust that is here today is because of what has happened in the past. And there's another way that trust is engendered, looking to the future, which of course we can't see, but there's something about this person that just as the first time you meet him or her, they just automatically inspire that trust. There's no track record yet, but we know something about this person that would tell us, yes, you can trust this person. And so this is what happens, for example, when you see an officer of the law, or a doctor, or physician, you know that just by being in that position, they are already in a trust position. A priest, a brother, a nun, when you see them, you automatically have trust engendered because of being who they are. So this is the two ways in which we experience trust with one another. We either look to the past or we see something in them that by their very nature tells them, yes, we can trust them going forward. So let's apply this to our Lord. Why do we trust the Good Shepherd? Well, when we look at the past, and we can go over our entire lives, we can see how the hand of the Good Shepherd has been there, taking care of us, providing for us, never failing us, especially in the hard times. Think of the great sorrows and trials and tribulations that you have been through. And we can see the Good Shepherd having sustained us through that. Unfortunately, sometimes in the hard times, that's where people lose their trust in God and lose their trust in the Good Shepherd. They say, I've been hurt so badly. I've gone through so much trauma or difficulty. I've lost my trust. But if they look at it with faith, with prayerfulness, they'll see, yes, even in those hard times, God was sustaining me. The Good Shepherd was still taking care of me. So this is where trust has to have some kind of a choice. Yes, I choose to trust. And then when we look at the Good Shepherd now, we look at the one who cannot fail, who is infinitely perfect, who died for us on the cross, who provides for us in countless ways. So when we look to the past, that's called a posteriori reasoning. When we look to the future, that's a priori reasoning. And so we see, just as with one another, how we strengthen trust, so too, and even more so, with the Good Shepherd, we look at how he has sustained us in the past and how he continues and will always continue. But this is a virtue that we have to grow in. And sometimes, as I was saying, through the difficult times of life, people's trust can falter. And this ties in with the supernatural virtue of hope. Remember, hope, faith, hope, and charity. These three are the greatest virtues of all because they directly pertain to God. Whereas the other moral virtues pertain to us, like being prudent, being just, being temperate, having fortitude. These are about perfecting ourselves, but faith, hope, and charity is looking directly at God and saying, I believe in thee. I know you cannot deceive me. I have trust, all the trust, faith, I believe, and then I also trust thee, and I also love thee. With the moral virtues, you might say that there are practical limits that we reach in their regard. In some cases, I think for the most part, we can always stand. We do need more growth in those virtues. But with faith, hope, and charity, the amount of growth possible is unlimited. You can never have too much faith. You can never have too much hope. You can never have too much love of God. So that can always keep growing. And so if you are struggling with faith and hope and love of your Good Shepherd, you need to grow in these virtues. Well, all of us do, but more so those that are struggling with past hard times where they really felt that sense of, of just not having handled the tribulation or the trials were so hurtful or difficult. Yes, he has taken care of us. And when we think of the church, we think of Christ being the head of the church. One of the great difficulties we have today is not seeing a visible head of the church. And remember that doctrinally speaking, the Pope and Christ together make up one head of the church. It's not two heads. It's one head. And this is a mystery. And we don't see, because of the tragedies and heresies and falsities of the Vatican II apparatus, we don't see that visible head. I mean, it's a practical conclusion that we draw, that Christ would not allow his vicar on earth to be a teacher of heresy. So we have to trust the Good Shepherd on this. And again, look to the past, look at who Christ is, someone who cannot fail us. He will provide in his own time and in his own way. I know there's a movement gaining momentum that, you know, of hoping, trying to get the clergy, especially the bishops, together to discuss this, to see what can be practically done. I like that saying of St. Ignatius Loyola, pray like it all depends on God, but work like it all depends on you. So we have to do what lies in our power. So pray for that intention, if you would, especially the bishops. And by the way, you know that our own bishop is so zealous and dedicated, and he has taken his episcopal motto from today's gospel: the Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. We've seen his dedication for some 35 years. As a matter of fact, this year will be 35 years since he was consecrated bishop here at Mount St. Michael. Pray that he and other traditional bishops, they can continue to forge a better bond among themselves to try to address these great needs we have in the church. But I tell you again, never forget, the invisible head of the church is always there. The Good Shepherd is always there. He is always taking care of his sheep. Yes, we have to trust him through the difficulties and mysteries of life, but it is there. And so, never forget that. The Good Shepherd. Read about him as so wonderfully portrayed in Psalm 22. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We were hearing verses of that sung by the choir just before Mass. So definitely a wonderful psalm upon which to meditate and reflect.